Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, OS 10 Mountain Lion is starting to look a lot like iOS.
Plus, something very special is happening March 7th. Save the date. We'll take a look at the address book download fiasco and AirPlay. It's everywhere.
Oh, that sounds just fab on iPad Today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this session of iPad. Oh, no, we're just
Thank
beginning.
You for joining us. No,
we're just beginning.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is starting.
It's backwards day.
I worked so hard on the open, I thought, that's it. That's all I can do. I'm done now.
You did a really good job.
I know. I thought I did. I put my heart into it.
We were talking before the show about having some sort of a song to sing.
I think we need a song. We should just launch into bursting. Like Glee. It really worked. You know, and there's that new thing, Smash. This is the new thing.
Well, it started with High School Musical.
High School Musical?
And then Glee.
Then Smash.
I haven't watched Smash.
Oh, it's great.
Are you sure?
I love it.
But you love Glee.
I do love Glee.
And I'm sort of lagging.
Smash is like a good Glee.
Oh.
You'll like it. It's about a Broadway. It's just a premiered
last
week.
It's about a Broad with a Dream.
It is actually a Broad with a Dream. Yeah. That's, what's her name? Deborah Messing.
Okay.
And you know who's great in it is Angelica Houston. She plays
She's good in everything.
Kind of the tough, broad, manager. Uh-huh. And they decided to do a play about Marilyn Monroe.
And it's one of the girls from American Idol.
Well, at least so far, it's two girls. And so the part of the problem is they like them both. One's a blonde, one's a brunette, and they're kind of vying. It's good. And then there's songs, there's production.
And the blonde gets all the breaks, says the brunette. Why can't anyone just pay a little bit more attention to me? Is that right?
You used to be a brunette, didn't you? You did that so well.
I still am.
That's kind of blondie.
Yeah,
it's like you couldn't make up your mind.
I'm actually like 50% gray.
Are you really?
Maybe not that much.
You're not
but
that old.
I'm gray enough to...
So
want
you
to cover it.
Prematurely gray?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I know. I mean,
I'm only 38.
With hair like that, you'd think you were at least 40, but no.
No. All right, let's talk a little bit about... There were two big news stories this past week.
One happened at 5:40 a.m. Pacific time this morning.
How could they...
Because it's an embargo.
So, did you know about this before? I mean, were you embargoed? Yes, that's a yes. That's a definite yes. So this is, we're talking about, I'm not going to make you say anything.
Okay.
She said something while she wasn't on camera.
That's not true. We're talking about this for the first time between the two of us.
Mountain Lion is the new OS 10.
That's what you have to do when you say Mountain Lion.
I thought you were a cougar.
Wow.
So, I mean, it sounded like a cougar.
Yeah.
So I think this is really, Microsoft's Windows 8 is scaring Apple just a little bit. And so Apple said, well, we could do that, and we could do it this summer. And boom! Talk about secretive. Boom! Nobody had heard about this. Had you heard? Before you got embargoed?
There were no rumors.
There was no clue.
No, nothing. Everyone's busy with when's the iPad 3 coming out.
Right.
You know, it's Apple just had their education event recently. So there was, not that everyone's really talking about that, you know, with wild abandon anymore, but... There is other stuff that's going on behind the scenes at Apple. This came out of nowhere, truly.
Are you excited? Because basically it sounds like, and I haven't played with it, maybe you've played with it, but it sounds like they're going to put a lot of the iPad features into the desktop.
Yes, that's true. One thing that is available today, and by the way, this is what they call an incremental update to OS 10 Lion. That's why it's called Mountain Lion. It's sort of like
Snow Leopard.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. It's funny. A bunch of people have pointed out, but a lion is like a bigger, cooler beast than the mountain lion. It seems like a downgrade. Well, just get over that. It's a kind of, you know, they had to pick something that had the word lion in it.
You know, they are going to run out of cats at some point. Big cats.
You can never have too many cats. I have a t-shirt that says
but
that.
But I'm just saying, they're going to run out. Is there anything left?
Yeah, you can go Persian...
No, that's kitty cats. They're doing,
they're doing
big cats.
They're already downgrading. They're doing it on purpose.
Oh, I see.
American
they're getting...
American tabby.
Oh, yeah. Well, once you get into putty cats, you could do all sorts of stuff.
OS 10 British short hair.
Yeah, there's no limit. I can't wait to OS 10 Manx, the first tailless OS. It's going to be... I don't think they're going to go with house cats. I think they're going to stay with the big cats, don't
well,
you?
Well, okay.
But so, what's left?
Well, they've got...
Lynx? Did they do that? They did that. Puma.
What about hyena? Is hyena even technically a cat?
No. Ceiling
cat.
Sure. Ocelot.
Ceiling cat.
Sabertooth.
Yes. So the deal is that Mountain Lion is an incremental update. So it's not a completely redesigned OS at all. But there are a lot of features that will be integrated. By the way, this is it's available to developers now, but if you don't have a developer account, then it's available to the general public later this summer. They don't have a specific date yet.
But summer is probably before both Windows 8 and what Microsoft will be showing in just a few days in Barcelona on February 29th, which is Windows on ARM. It's just essentially their response. OS 10 is... iOS is on ARM. This is an ARM platform, as is the iPhone. So they're basically, Microsoft saying, hey, we're going to do tablets. And they're going to release their consumer preview end of this month. But I think Apple's going to beat them with this new version of
It's interesting
OS
that you
it's
bring Microsoft into this because...
I just did Windows Weekly.
We just did, well, that's, but that's, that's it's a good perspective to have because sometimes I forget that Apple even gives a crap what anybody else is doing because they're a company that appears to march to the beat of their own drum so much.
Exactly.
But of course they pay attention.
Well, I don't know of course, but this was the discussion Paul Theron and I had on Windows Weekly. I said, oh, come on. Apple doesn't care about Microsoft. And he said, well, maybe they do because... Microsoft's going right at them with Windows on ARM. I mean, they're going to make tablets that look very much like the iPad. Mm-hmm. Apple right now is doing very well in enterprise. Robert Scoble told me on Twit that he had run into on a flight a GE executive who said they're going to put iPads all over General Electric. It's going to be the go-to platform. Everybody's going to be using iPads on General Electric. And that's got to scare Microsoft a little bit because that's the first time Apple has credibly come back into enterprise computing. So I have a feeling that these two do care a little bit more about each other than they might have in the past.
So some of the big changes that you will notice right off the bat from iCloud, not all of them, but some of the bigger ones, is you now have iCloud account logins for any new Macs or new user signups. So it's sort of like you've got a machine, you sign into your iCloud account, and all of a sudden you are signed up on all of your devices that you might have that are Apple products. Apple wants you to have an iCloud account, everything to be linked that way.
I like that.
Me too.
That's how it should be.
That's how I save myself.
Right, right.
iCloud dock storage now looks a lot like the iPad UI. You sort of have an option of going the old school, well, I don't want to call it old school, but the hierarchical folder view that people know of OS X or docs that, let's say I had two documents and I put one document in another, then it'll automatically open a folder that I can name that both of those documents are inside of, very much how an iPad would work.
I like that. That's interesting.
Too. Yeah, very very much so.
And what are we going to lose, though? For those of us who've used, and I think you're this way, but I certainly have been using a Macintosh since 1984. I love the Macintosh desktop and notebooks. For those of us who use Macs, are we going to lose capabilities? Is it going to suddenly be not the Mac? Is it just going to be iPad on Mac?
Well, okay. So imagine, did you reverse your mouse movement once?
I did, and that was a pain for the first few days, but I did, because that's the last thing
you
they
got
did
used
in
to
Lion.
Yeah.
They made scrolling go more like an iPad than like a desktop.
I would say within 5 days, I wouldn't have even known the difference.
No, I'm used to it now, except, you know where it really is a problem? And maybe this was the plan?
What?
When I use a Windows machine.
Right.
Suddenly the scrolling's back to the old way.
Oh, the other day I got on someone else's computer and I was like, you haven't upgraded to Lion? And she goes, well, no, I just switched the way that the trackpad works. And I said, well, why'd you do that? It's hard for me to use now.
But it does put Apple users in a weird position because suddenly we're scrolling exactly the opposite way of everybody else except iPad and Macintosh. And so if you do use Windows computers too, which I do, and Linux, it's very confusing.
It's confusing.
I scroll and I go, oh, no, it's this way. And I wonder if Apple did that on purpose to kind of move people out of those universes.
Honestly, I think that Apple wants a unified experience. Apple understands that iOS and OS X are different things. You can't make them completely unified because you just can't. I mean, this is not a touchscreen, and you've got a keyboard and laptops and mobile devices, if you want to call iPad mobile, which I do, are different things. But they can make a lot more of the user experience unified. For example, Calendar is now called Calendar on
Cloud? Cloud Calendar?
Which
iCloud?
Is called Calendar. Because on the iPad, it's
Calendar. It's not iCal anymore.
Right. Why call it iCal in one place and Calendar in the other place if they're synced via iCloud? So there's stuff like that. Address book is now called Contacts. It's just your contacts. Reminders and notes. Remember, I was mad about the fact that I loved the Reminders app, but they didn't have an OS X app. They do now. They will. Yeah, so that's perfect. Notes as well, if you are somebody who enjoys the notepad a little bit more. Love that about Reminders, because before it was stuck in iCal, and it worked, but it was kind of ugly and cumbersome. So it just, it makes a little bit more sense. One other thing that they've done, well, actually, two other things that they've done that are really interesting. Number one is they're going to allow AirPlay functionality from OS X. So if I've got a movie on my Mac, I can send it through my Apple TV.
That's very exciting. Yeah. It does also kind of incline one to believe that Apple will be doing a television set. Because now you buy... Remember, they've pulled, by the way, all the Apple TVs out there. You can't get a new Apple TV anymore.
Really?
Yes.
Since when?
It started last week, and... They have remaining stock, but they're not ordering new stock. So the fact that I think March 7th, which we haven't talked about yet, but I think we're going to see more than just an iPad announcement.
You are hosing me.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So I do believe that that something's going to happen, as people have rumored for a long time, with televisions as well.
I'm surprised I haven't heard more uproar. Why aren't the Apple TVs on sale anymore?
Because nobody buys them. This is the thing that's exciting to me. I am still...
If you have one.
If you ever had any doubt that I am still on the outs, I thought maybe when Steve Jobs passed away that Apple might kind of, you know, give me an amnesty. No. I did not get a briefing. I'm reading John Gruber's Daring Fireball.
Leo, very few people got them.
Did you see this? This is...
Phil Schiller sat grouping down.
Yeah, we're starting to do some things differently, Phil Schiller said to me. We were sitting in a comfortable hotel suite in Manhattan just over a week ago.
Wait a second. You're a bit out of shape because Phil Schiller didn't sit you down in a hotel room and give you basically the equivalent of a keynote?
We gave it to John Gruber.
Well, you can read the article. And what have you really missed?
All right.
What have you really missed?
What I'm saying. I'm pleased to hear that I'm still... persona non grata with Apple. Thank you, Apple.
finally. Okay, go ahead.
Not finally, because right. I know where you're going with message.
No.
No?
Okay. No.
You go where you're going. I don't go where I'm going.
Okay. All right. Finally, before we get to messaging, which is actually kind of the coolest thing that we can all participate in as of today, is Twitter.
Full integrated.
In the latest iOS 5 update, yeah. Twitter was fully integrated into iOS's OS. And a lot of people said, huh, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Apple had supposedly been in talks with Facebook sometime back and kind of went with Twitter for their, it's their sort of their easy, if you want to share the little arrow button, Twitter's now in there. Same thing with OS X. So Apple and Twitter having a little slumber party.
And no Facebook?
No Facebook.
And I think, to be honest, I think that's a big mistake. I don't think Twitter speaks to the core audience that uses Macintoshes and iPads. I think Facebook does. And I think Twitter is still a little bit of a hipster thing. Still, it doesn't... People love Facebook. And I think Apple's missing out by not... If it had Facebook integration, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be more interesting? I think to most people, I think it would.
That's a good question. The thing is, Leo, I don't know that people love Facebook. It's just that they understand Facebook.
No, but they use it like crazy.
Because there was... Yeah.
Right?
But
and almost everybody does. Facebook has 10 times the audience of Twitter.
I think it's 8 times.
8 to 10 times. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 100 million versus 875 million, whatever
right.
it is. So I do think that Apple probably would like to have Facebook in there. I think that it may just be a Facebook that's making the roadblock, not Apple. I don't know. But integrated Twitter is not as interesting to me, I have to say.
It's an issue between the companies rather than whether or not Apple thinks that Facebook or Twitter links are more important. In a perfect world, you'd have both.
Or you'd have everything. You'd have Google Plus, too.
Well, that's the thing. With a lot of third-party apps, we show them all the time where you say, oh, look, they let you share to Dropbox and this and that, and you have all these different choices. But that's, again, not in iOS itself.
They do have this new message platform, which replaces iChat. It's mm-hmm. called Message.
Yep.
Not iMessage, but it is iMessage. It allows you to use Jabber, Google Talk, AIM, and Yahoo Messenger, along with Apple's own messaging platform.
Mm-hmm.
You can send a message from a desktop or a notebook to a phone or an iPad and vice versa. I tried it earlier today, downloaded the beta. This is the one piece that anybody can get right now. The beta is available at Apple's site. It works pretty well.
I did too. I will...
send me a message.
Where are you? Here's Laporte. You're idle right now.
I am idle. I'm always idle.
Alex, if you can take my screen, you will see
my
messages window. Yeah, so it's here's you. Here's my friend David Prager. And if I were just to talk to you, yo, bud.
You know what's interesting? That picture, you know where they get that?
Where?
I'm not sure this is a good idea. That is the picture I took when I set up my desktop computer. You know, you have a login picture. So I just went like this.
Right.
Well, you're going to have to think about your login picture a little bit more, kids.
You should just change it.
I should change it now.
You can change it easily. I know my picture's really stupid,
it's
too.
Stupid.
It was when I opened my computer for the first time.
There's another thing that I like, and I'm... Okay, finish Messenger, and I'm going to mention one more thing.
Okay, what's nice about Messenger is this is, to everybody who's gotten familiar with iMessage, this is taking iMessage to the Mac.
Yeah.
So if you and I are talking to each other via iMessage, and for anybody who needs a refresher, iMessage is awesome because when it's between two iOS users, you're not actually using SMS texting. So it's not counting against any plan, and the messages turn blue rather than green. And if you're using iMessage, then you know what I'm talking about. And you can assign not only a phone number but an email address to iMessage. So I can message Leo from my phone, but he would see my SarahLane.com address come up. For example, I can assign that same Apple ID to messages on OS X, so the messages are being received on a variety of different devices. However, I have found an issue with it. Yeah, the issue is, okay, so on my iPhone and my iPad, I have two different phone numbers because they both have data plans that are associated with not the same phone number. Okay, well, I said, all right, well, I wouldn't want then the phone numbers to be synced up to messages. I want my SarahLane.com to be synced up to messages so that if you were to message me, I'd get it everywhere and I would just see it wherever I was first.
Right.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't?
No, it's buggy. This is in beta.
I got it to work.
This is in beta. You did?
Yeah.
And, so if I sent something to you, you'd see ping, ping, ping?
Yeah. It did not work right out of the box. In fact, people who were watching our live stream earlier watched me go through, you know, a lot of convolutions. Because I got the message. Are you getting the message that account, that email account is in use with another system?
No.
Okay. That's what I got. It turned out I had to re-verify my email. But now, using my primary email address, I can get... if you set it to probably the address you have there, it will go to my iPhone, my iPad, and my desktop.
Well, that is interesting. That is interesting indeed. Why didn't you just get it now?
It may not be what you want. I haven't set it up on this machine.
I also might be sending something to your me.com because I think it defaults to that.
So you're saying I should have gotten a message from you. Let's just check.
I think I said, yo, bud.
The only problem is, of course, that I gave out that address, and I now have 38 messages on my iPhone. So I'm sure it's somewhere in there.
The 1%. yeah. Okay, so Messages is, again, it's in beta. It's a new feature of OS X. It's not perfect. I have found a few little issues, just playing around with it a little bit this morning where I went, that didn't work the way that I thought it would, but again, it is beta.
Yeah.
And that's the way that these things go.
It crashed
on me
once.
That's why developers have the chance to play around with the stuff because they want to work out as many kinks as possible before the public gets
developers and John Gruber.
Yes.
But I'm not
bitter. Who has a developer account.
I'm not bitter. One more thing that I think is very important that maybe is getting a little short shrift. Macworld did a good article on it, Gatekeeper. The security model on this is much better. It's fantastic. This is exactly how a desktop app should be. Remember, we talked earlier about the fact that Apple was requiring app developers now to say what they wanted to do. They're going to have a permission system. It will warn you if an application does something like, let's say, I don't know, download your address book. All of that is now built into the desktop, and I am thrilled. I think we're going to have a much safer computing environment. It's you know, one of the things they did right on the iPad and the iPhone is design it from scratch to be secure. That kind of security is now coming to the desktop, and I think that's great news.
Absolutely.
Happy about that.
You know, you mentioned, Leo, you mentioned the whole address book issue.
Yes.
Which is actually, technically, even though we wanted to start off with Mountain Lion off of the top of the show, that's actually our theme. It's not really a fun theme because it's actually sort of an issue, but Address Book Gate is our theme today. We've talked about it on many other Twitch shows at length, but if for whatever reason you're unfamiliar or just want to get our take on it, I thought that we should definitely talk about what was this whole issue, what happened with Path. You might have seen some stuff in the news that Path is stealing your, you know, data mining your addresses, and you have to watch out with these companies, and they might not have your best interest at mind.
We talked, of course, a lot about it last week. I think it broke during This Week in Google. So on Wednesday last week, I talked about it. We talked about it at MacBreak Weekly. We talked about it on Twit. We haven't yet talked about it on this show. Do you want me to say how I feel about it? And I'd be very curious what your reaction is to it.
Absolutely.
I've thought a lot about it. And you know I'm a Path fan, and I use Path, and I did not stop using Path. My initial reaction is, well, yeah, of course, because Path said, should we look up friends in your contact list? I figured that they took that. I figured that Twitter did and Facebook did, and a lot of these apps were getting my contact list. And I thought, well, I think that that's exactly what I expected. So I wasn't surprised, and I didn't feel like it was an invasion of privacy. Now, you're on Path on your iPad right now.
That's right.
They've changed it. And there it is. You're seeing that warning now. What does that say? It's kind of small.
To find family and friends, Path needs to send your contacts to our server. Now, I can either say, no, I don't want to do that. Forget it. Or I can say, yeah okay, that's fine.
And I don't believe that Dave or Path was malicious in doing this. I think from their point of view, they thought in their head, well, we're not going to do anything with this. Of course, we need to look at their contact list if they want us to find friends. Why should we warn people about that? So I think it came as a surprise to them. It doesn't particularly bother me. It would bother me only if I thought that they were going to do something else with it, like sell it to advertisers or marketers. But it's pretty clear that the risk to Path of doing that for a small amount of money and risk this entire platform, because if people knew that they were doing that, that'd be the end of Path. It just didn't make sense to me that they would be doing that. Now, we did learn later that Path was not only downloading it, but saving it. Now, they've stopped doing that. They delete it now. But we've also learned that the Twitter app, not only downloads it, but saves it for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram was doing it. They've changed their platform.
Yeah, in fact, I can show you. Instagram sort of... And listen,
they snuck this in as an update.
Yeah.
They put in Lux. They put in all these additional features. They changed the interface. You've got the old Instagram on there, by the way.
Oh, you're right.
So you're not going to see it.
Well.
So it's going to do the old behavior, which
see,
is.
See, this is what. Okay, so.
You see how fast it did that?
No users found, because I don't really have much of a address book on this iPad. But I haven't actually updated to the new Instagram
right.
on my iPad, which is weird. I can't believe I didn't do that. It didn't ask me.
I think I have it here.
Yeah, it didn't ask me anything like, hey, we're going to need to upload all of your data to our servers. Don't worry, it'll be confidential. We won't share it with anybody.
This is the new Instagram. And
yeah.
The way you can tell, by the way, is the camera icon now.
Yeah.
The
UI is different
in
general.
Yeah. So walk me through this, because I can't. Is it here? Find friends?
Yep.
Okay.
And then right at the top
from
here,
my contact list.
Uh-huh. And it says, oh, hold on a second.
Now, this is actually better than Path. In order to find your friends, we need to send your address book information to Instagram servers using a secure connection. By the way, that's another thing. Path was using HTTPS. They were encrypting it, but many other apps were sending. Now, this, I think, they should be blamed for.
Yeah.
We're sending all your data in the clear, which means anybody along the way could see all of that information. Path did it right. I firmly believe Path just thought, well, of course, that's how you do it. There are ways to do it.
That's why it's convenient to use
right.
our app, because we've got
there
these
are ways to do it.
I
don't think Path, and I don't know for sure. I've only met Dave Morin twice. Once when in Paris, we met him together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know him from Adam. But I don't think that he's going to take a chance on his whole company by doing something nefarious with that information. So there was an implicit trust. Yeah, of course he's got my address book. So what? So it doesn't bother me. Did it bother you?
I'm in your camp. I think that there's sort of two things going wrong here. Number one is people should have been, you just need a little heads up. Here's what we're doing. Yes or no. And then if you say don't allow, then...
I far prefer what they're doing now.
Right.
And I think that they should have done that. Although I, like them, didn't see a problem. So I understand why they didn't up front. But now you've got to. And by the way, Apple's making you.
Right. That's another thing is Apple pretty much said, well, listen, this is against the terms of our service, but we've never really made it mandatory for an app to give a pop-up window to make you say, yes, 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 I'm fine with doing this. The way that you always see when an app asks for your location, hey, right. is it okay for us to geolocate you? That's sort of what the app is all about. It'll make it better. But you can say no, and the app either won't really work very well or you just have that feature turned off.
I think it's the same thing. I think Apple had the same reaction that Dave and Instagram and Twitter had, which is, well, yeah, why is there a problem? You trust us with your credit card information. Are you saying you don't trust us with your contact list? Why is that different?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of these apps don't have your credit card information.
All right,
because
but I'm just saying,
free.
Don't you routinely trust companies with stuff like that?
And, yes.
And I just seems to me.
I don't know if I would say for social networks, I'd be wanting to give my credit card out here and there, even if I just thought that they wouldn't go anywhere. I think
I sign up for crap all the time.
You're getting to the second issue of this, is that the issue number one is people just want to know what's happening.
And they should. And I don't disagree with that.
If they're giving away information, you need to give people an out. Number two is the apps themselves need to be secure with this data. Now, the fact that Path was secure is sort of like, I kind of have no issue at all with this because that's just the way it goes. But I have a problem with the app Hipster, which, by the way, has updated since then. So I'm not saying that they have fixed the hole. They were uploading not securely plain text. And that is scary. So that's the sort of thing where it's like, listen, we have to have a standard or else I'm just going to suspect all of these apps aren't secure.
And that is bad.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing for me to trust a particular application, Instagram, with my data. And I do. I don't think they're going to sell my data. I don't think Kevin Systrom is going to say, hey, I got Leo's address book. Who wants it? I don't believe that. But on the other hand, if a company like Hipster, in the process of getting that data, makes it insecure or doesn't store it securely on their server, that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something a warning is going to warn you. That's different. It doesn't say in the warning, well, actually it did in Instagram's case, we'll set it via a secure connection. That's right. Another thing that I think they need to do.
Well, or Apple needs to make them.
And Apple needs to make them.
And that just needs to be part of their, they weed out apps all the time. That's just another reason that an app should be weeded out.
I think it's really interesting. You could go both ways. It's impossible to know anybody's intent. You could assume evil intent on the part of Path. You could assume evil intent on the part of Apple. Well, this is such a valuable feature for our app developers, even though our terms of service say you can't do it. We're going to look the other way when they do. But I don't believe evil intent in either case. I think what really happened was people just thought, well, yeah, of course we have your contact information. We're not going to do anything with it. We didn't even know that that would be an issue for people. Now they do.
Right.
So now you got to warn. I don't think it's an issue for me. And I'm curious how many people that really is an issue for. If you think about it. That app has access on the iPhone to a lot of information.
The whole thing was very curious to me. Somebody discovered this was going on, and Path kind of said, hey, this is sort of the best practice right now in the App Store, and then said, okay, we get what's going on. We're sorry. And it took a few days, honestly, for word to get around, or at least articles to be written that were going to be read by a lot of people, of people saying, oh, wait a second, it's not just Path.
Right.
It's all sorts of apps.
It's almost every app that asks you for that kind of permission,
exactly.
In fact, uploads it. Now, there have been articles about there are other ways programmatically to do it without exposing your information. They can take the email address in the phone book and hash it and then compare it to a hash on their side, and so no information is transacted. Or is passed from one to the other. But that's more work. And if you didn't see it as a problem in the first place, I don't see why you would suddenly say, we should have hashed this. I don't know. I think this is a case of the media, including us, the media stirring the pot on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't something that people were that concerned about. They are now.
I think it's a lot of what.
Oh, and by the way,
things being taken from us without our knowledge. Because you want to upset a lot of people who don't really know how things work. Say something like, "We have your address book information, and maybe we'll give it to the government."
But you understand that your address book is on your phone.
I know.
And all these apps are on your phone. They have access to it. They do.
But they're not necessarily storing the. Well, people didn't realize that data was not just being pinged regularly, but being stored on a server somewhere outside of your control.
They could see it.
Look, I'm not arguing with you.
You're putting an app on there, and there's.
I'm speaking for the angry mob.
Well, and angry mob, good. There's going to be a lot to be angry about because every desktop application has full access to everything on your computer. Right?
Yeah.
All the porn files that you've got on your computer, every app you install on your computer could see them. Now how do you feel? Maybe they're uploading them. I don't know. It depends what their collection is. So one other thing. On Android, and this is the other way you could handle this. Android handles it by requiring an app to tell you. But not when it happens when you install the app. And your only choice is to, at the time, install or not install the app. So that is maybe not the best solution either. I like the way Apple's going to handle this, which is warn you at the time, warn you each and every time, and give you the choice at the time. You still get the full app. You still get the functionality. You just don't get that particular feature. That's, I think, the right way. I think Android, we're so used to, those of us who use Android devices, every time you install an app, there's a long list of things the app can do. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, whatever. And that's always the risk with this kind of thing. Yeah, whatever.
But then it's on you. You want to read, you want to say yes, then that's different than not having the opportunity to opt out if you want to. So the reason that we talk about this is there are a lot of apps probably on your iPad right now or your iPhone, most certainly your iPhone, but a lot of these apps that are in question, you are running on your iPad. So just know how things are working. A lot of things have been updated, but if you're using an app that you don't think has or there are questions about, just be aware of what's going on with your data.
I just think it's something new that nobody really thought about. Mm-hmm. We're going to see more and more of this as we get into this world of social media. And I think it comes from an old school sensibility that your computer, your electronic device was somehow private. But the minute you are connecting it to the internet, it's not. And so there's this huge risk always. And really, when you're online and you're doing social media and you're doing social things like Instagram or Path, the expectation of privacy has to be a lot lower because it's public. Mm-hmm. You're in the public now.
Right. And if you don't trust an app, you
shouldn't
be using it.
That's
just, yeah, no one's making you.
I don't know why people thought Path would somehow be private.
Well, it's exclusive.
It's not private.
It's an exclusive club that works a lot like a public one.
All right.
Reminder that if you are watching us live, thank you very much. But if you're not, a reminder that we record our show at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Eastern time is hard. It's really fun. You should join us. I always go 2:30, 3:30, 4:30.
Just add 3.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough stuff. It's fun. We've got our chat room going on. We try to take as many live questions as possible. But if you miss a show, don't worry. Just go to twit.tv/IPT. That's where all of our archives live. Not only just archive videos, but the links of apps and stories and topics that we talked about, links to where to find Leo and I online. So just keep that on mind.
Twit.tv/IPT. I got a message from Sarah Lane.
What does it say?
Nerd burger. Why did you type that?
I was responding to you. You wrote, "Hi, cutie." And I was like, "Who's this 707 jerk?"
That's interesting. So it came in as a phone number.
Yeah.
And yours is just coming in as a name.
Because you haven't added an email address as a default from that particular phone.
Probably the default is the phone.
Oh, the joy of messages. So many questions
left to answer. I think it's great, though, that we can use multiple platforms and talk to each other. One of the things I like about Google Chat and Google Voice is I can do desktop, mm-hmm. I can type a message that goes to somebody's phone. I love that.
I love the messages. And again, it's really only good with other iOS or OS X users, but I was using Facebook Messenger a lot because I wanted to either talk to people who are on desktops or talk to people who are via mobile, because that did what SMS didn't do.
Right.
And I don't necessarily have to use... I don't actually have a problem with Facebook Messenger. It works just fine. But I was like, it's kind of my only solution right now. And I like to have another option because I don't like to use Facebook for everything just because that's the only option that I have.
You know, you might as well just get over that. Facebook is the world.
That's not true.
And we're all going to be on it soon.
Your world is very small, Ben.
Are no flowers. There's only
800
blue.
800 million people small.
Blue and white. That's all there is. Now, before we move on, I just want to mention we could not do this show, this very show we're doing right now, without that guy right there. His name is Alex.
That's right.
And he is the master.
The Gump.
Of the TriCaster 850 Extreme. He's mastered it. He was the first in our company to use it, Alex Gumpel. And this was at NAB show last year, wasn't it, Alex?
Yeah.
And you became... It's like an idiot savant. Well, that's not a nice thing to say. He's like a savant, minus... Oh, now I'm in trouble. He is... The things he can do with this thing...
The savant is running the show.
He's all savant. No idiot. The TriCaster is essentially a video production truck with switcher, Chiron, green screen, virtual sets. You just saw picture in picture. All of that in the box. It's amazing. We could not do what we do without the TriCaster. So I want to give just a little tip of the hat to NewTek, the folks at NewTek who make the TriCaster. And if you're interested in doing your own video production, live video production, churches use it, sports use it, networks use it. It's being used all over the country. There are a variety of different TriCaster to choose from. Of course, we use the top of the line, the 850 Extreme. But you can find out all about the TriCaster at NewTek, NEWTEK.com. It is amazing. What's your favorite thing, Alex, that you've discovered? I like these new lower thirds that we have that bounce in and out. That's the motion graphics in the lower thirds is fantastic.
Oh, look at that.
Did you know we could do that?
No.
This is we've never used it before.
Well, why don't we use it all the time?
My thoughts exactly. We will. I use it on all my shows now because I've discovered the button to press.
Maybe Alex can make Chad do some stuff.
Exactly.
All right. Yes, thank you to NewTek. And thank you to Alex for sitting in today. You're doing a fantastic job.
Yes. Filling in for our usual Chad.
Yes. Oh, my God, Chad.
He's getting his hair dyed.
He's out doing something better, apparently. Didn't have time for little old us. So last week we talked about some iPad 3 rumors. It was a lot more of a rumor 1 week ago than it seems like today. Wall Street Journal has come out saying March 7th, we're going to have an announcement iPad 3.
Yep. So weird agreement now. It will be March 7th. We don't know.
No.
Apple has not issued. Did you? Okay.
Until
you're
get
on
an
the inside track.
Yeah.
Did you get an invitation?
No, but you would have known. I mean, people who had gotten
would have
talked about it. I haven't gotten it. I never go to Apple announcements.
Usually about a week before, so I would expect one February 29th.
Also,
right when Windows on ARM is being announced, Apple, I swear to God, you
that
watch.
The invitations will go out.
I swear to God, you watch.
I agree with you. I agree that it'll they'll try to take some thunder from Mobile World Congress. Then on March 7th, they'll announce the iPad. Then within a week, 10 days, we'll have them on the shelves, which
now,
is a little bit later than last year.
See, that's the question. How long before we get them?
I don't know.
And you think a week to 10 days?
Well, I'm just going by last year.
Yeah, and MacBreak Weekly, they thought it would be longer because, and here's why, if they put LTE in, you know, the fast 4G that Verizon's demanding that all their new gadgets have.
And AT&T is continuing to roll out.
That would require a new FCC approval process for that chip, which means it could be long. Remember, the first iPad, it was 3 months. They announced it, then applied for approval, because once approval starts, that kind of is a public thing, and so everybody finds out what you're doing. So it might be that they announce it March 7th, start the FCC approval process, and then it might be a month, two, even 3 months before we see it. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but that could happen.
Well, no, that's good. That's a good thought. That is one of the things that seems to be a consensus, at least at this point, with people familiar with the matter.
4G.
It's 4G.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first it was like, well, that would be great. Well, I don't know if Apple's ready to do that. And now it sounds like, yeah, it's not a done deal, but it's a pretty strong rumor at this point, you know, quad core.
Now, I'm curious, and we talked a little bit about this, if there'll be other announcements besides iPad.
Well, you mentioned Apple TV earlier in the show.
Could be Apple TV. Could be a TV.
I don't think they would do that, though, because the iPad already has enough.
Right.
Why not give that its own announcement?
And you started, and I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Features you think will be in the iPad? You said quad core?
Mm-hmm. And then
Retina
display.
Yep. It'll be thicker because it needs more battery for the Retina display.
Yes. And for the LTE.
And there'll probably be, I'm thinking there'll probably be either two versions of the iPad or maybe even a third, because we heard a lot of rumors. I don't believe these rumors that they're looking
at. Of the 8-inch?
Testing 8-inch iPads as well.
You don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
I think they're probably testing it.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't
I
mean
don't,
they're going to do
it. But I don't. I just don't see, especially if we've talked about this on TNT, and I feel like I've talked about this with everybody who cares about iPads, but I don't see them introducing an iPad that doesn't have the wow specs of this iPad 3. Even though it's smaller, it's like, it's not really like Apple to say, and here's our sort of like junky smaller one that's more like the Kindle Fire.
They do that with the iPod, though. They'll announce an iPod Touch, an iPod Nano, an iPod Shuffle.
But in those cases, it's always like, and I'm sure you can think of an MP3 player and prove me wrong, but in those cases, it's always felt like Apple would say, ooh, this is this new thing.
Yeah.
This is this new special
thing.
Hey,
you don't need a dial.
We just made this.
You don't need a screen.
Yeah.
You just need a thing.
It just does. Yeah, I don't. It doesn't feel right to me either to say, here's the 8-inch. It's sort of
I think you're right.
It's the lower model.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right.
But again, they kept Mountain Lion from us. So
I do
what
think
do we
they'll keep the iPad 2 around as a low cost alternative to an iPad 3. I do believe that. I tweeted this and I got slammed for it. I think, and I would like, a better camera in the iPad 3.
Oh, yeah. I think that's not hard to do.
No, it's such a bad
terrible.
Camera in the iPad 2. But now this is where people mocked me. They said, you'll use your iPhone. You're not going to use the iPad camera. But I just love Avid Studio, which I know you and MG showed a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I love it so much that I think this could be a great movie-making device. If it had a decent HD camera in it, I would hold it up to take movies and then edit in Avid Studio. That would be great.
It's a little nerdy to hold it
Maybe
up.
Maybe I'm a nerd.
There's always, well, it's like there's always like a, at the music show and the guy's taking pictures with
I
his
iPad.
I see
a lot of those.
Put your stupid iPad down. It's like wearing a bad hat.
I see more and more of that,
though. I know. Well, if that's what you've got on you for whatever reason, then it might as well have a better camera. The thing is that that's a good point. We have so many apps on the iPad that are really robust as far as editing photos and videos. So why not have something that you can pull in content natively?
Why should I have to use this another device to take pictures so that I can put it?
I mean, with iCloud, I guess there's it's that
photo
much easier
stream
to,
and
to
so
share
forth.
Stuff. By the way, sharing stuff via message.
I know. Somebody sent me a picture.
Very convenient.
It was kind of
much more. Remember how awful it used to be to try to even like share links and photos on IM? Still
That's
is.
Great.
Still doesn't make sense half the time, depending on what protocol you're using.
I probably shouldn't have given out my address because I'm getting a lot of messages like this.
Oh, but they're nice.
Here, I'll show you. You can look. It's a family sent me a picture of them visiting us.
That's at the old. Well, is it? I actually don't know
that's
the difference
at the cottage.
Now.
Yeah, that's
at the cottage.
How
can you tell the difference? Because it's the lighting is different.
Skypeosaurus.
Of course. Skypeosaurus. Yeah. Skypeosaurus.
And there's a little light there, but you're right.
Oh, those were the good old days, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Leo, last week we talked a little bit about Newsstand, and I said Newsstand apps are apps, and you went, they are? I don't know. We're not really
sure. Are they?
Okay, so Matthew wrote in, and he has kind of a good breakdown of what makes Newsstand apps special. He says, Newsstand apps are apps, but it's more than just a category in the App Store. They only go into the Newsstand folder.
Yes.
They have rectangular icons, either horizontal, newspaper, or vertical, magazine.
Right.
They can change their icon daily, something only the calendar app can do otherwise, rather than just have notifications. They can push data once a day, where other apps can only push notifications. So that's what makes them special.
So they're apps plus.
Yeah.
I thought they were apps minus. They're apps plus.
Yeah, they're like a super app.
Super app.
Super app. And that's why they go into the Newsstand. And that makes perfect sense. I hadn't even really, it didn't even occur to me to say, well, they're different because they look different. They're not the same square with the rounded edges as other apps are. But it's true that they can change their icons as well. So
I assumed that they were something less than apps just because they have to be in this Newsstand pseudo folder, which I don't mind it so much on the iPad because there's a lot of great publications on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing on the iPhone. And so I still have this pseudo folder on my iPhone, and I just, I don't want it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think you're just being crabby.
Would you please talk to Phil, your friend?
Yes. New York Times keeps pinging me with all this, like,
that's the other thing
breaking
they can do.
News.
And by the way,
I thought I had turned that off.
We've heard before of a fix to get that folder, the Newsstand folder, in another folder hidden away. But if you do that, you lose those notifications.
I just don't know why it would bother you so much that you want to hide it.
Well, it's fine here because I have stuff in it.
Yeah.
But on the iPhone, I only have the New York Times in it. It should just. Why should I have a folder for one icon?
Because Apple wants you to buy things.
Oh, thank you.
Go to the store. Maybe you'll find a magazine that's just right for you.
Not on the iPhone. There's nothing.
Oh, there are. Come on. We got a duh tip from Ethan. Thank you, by the way, Ethan. Sent us a lot of videos. We try to watch as many of them
as
possible.
He's our number one duh.
He kind of is. And he, with OS X Mountain Lion coming out and iOS 5 and everything being integrated together, he reminds us that the reading list is very important.
Hey Leo and Sarah, this is Ethan Barber, and I'm back with a little iPad duck tip. So when iOS 5 came out, there was a feature added in Safari called Reading List. Now, I didn't think I would use this feature, but over the past few months, I've grown to love it. Anyway, so if you're on Safari, so for example, I have the Twit page up, and you want to bookmark this so you can go back to it on your laptop later, but you don't feel like typing in the address or Googling it, whatever. All you do is you can go into the Action menu and hit Add to Reading List. Now, it will add this page, sync with iCloud, and it will add it to your reading list. Right here, I have some articles. And it will sync to your computer, if you have it enabled, and any other iOS devices you have with your account. So, for example, I have my iPod. You can see I have Reading List on here, And the Twit website just popped up, so now I can hit on that. And
there you go.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's not new as of today.
No.
Reading lists is something that's been out ever since iOS 5 has been out.
That's right.
But it's a really good thing to remember.
I have a button on my Safari that I press, you know, that says save it for the reading list.
Oh, you want to hear something cool about OS 10 Mountain Lion?
Yeah.
Wait.
Huh. Oh, can you tell me?
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, this is you know how...
Can she tell, Phil? Okay, he said it's okay. He said it's
you know how in Chrome, if you want to just search for something, you just type it right up into the address bar, whatever your search terms are. And in Safari, you have to go over
things.
To the stupid Google search button.
Right.
Not in the new Safari.
Thank you.
I know.
That's the main reason
the thing
I don't...
Actually, the most about Safari.
That's why I don't use Safari.
Because I don't like to use them differently.
I know. Because then I do a new tab and I have to tab again to go to the search.
So annoying. Well, you know what I find, what I end up doing is I'll go like playground, basketball, red. And then I think I'm searching for something and it'll be like, I don't know what website you're looking for. That's not a website.
Wascal says that actually is an update in Safari and it's in the developer's release of Safari 5.2, even if you're still using the old one.
Oh, nice. Really?
So you can update your to developer release and get that as well.
Oh, that's awesome, Wascal. Thank you for the clarification.
Yo, Wascal, you.
Got an email from Tina in Redondo Beach, California, who says, you guys were talking about Zinio and some of the limitations last week.
Yeah,
well,
I got a lot of email on that one.
Quite a lot of the magazines have links and other interactive content.
It was just a magazine I was using.
It just depends on the publisher. For example, National Geographic is also on Zinio, has video, audio, interactive maps, other great features, and the Zinio app has a great feature that no one ever mentions. In the Explore section on the app, there are full articles you can read from a variety of different magazines. Great for people who don't want to spend money on a full subscription just for the occasional article you want to read.
I stand corrected and I apologize. I did not do Zinio much of a favor in my discussion of Zinio.
Because we were saying it's like scanned.
It's kind of old-fashioned. Yeah.
But it depends on the magazine.
And here's the Explore area, and she's absolutely right. There's a ton of stuff. Something else that somebody told me, which is that, and this was T3 was the one that didn't have links. He said, also, you want to make sure you try it in portrait mode because... I said, well, maybe not this one. But in portrait mode, it's more like a magazine. Maybe I have it locked.
No, I don't think you do.
No. Oh, maybe it could be on here. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there
In portrait mode, it's much more magazine-y and feels a little bit better for reading and so forth, and you can zoom and so forth. So, and these links are hot. So I stand corrected. I did not give Zinio the full benefit of the doubt. It's pretty good.
So thank you, Tina. A very good reminder that Zinio is more than just scan magazine pages. Much, much more. We also got a voicemail from, we don't know what her name is, although she sounds really nice. She has some thoughts on the iPad in March, specifically.
Hi, I just listened to your February 9th show, and I wanted to say something about the iPad timing. I agree, it's probably just, you know, half a year, but by doing it in March, that you're able to get school districts to order equipment for the next fall, because our budgets have to be put in March and April. And then they buy the equipment over the summer, get it set up, and have it ready in August when we start school. And in my district in particular, we have a huge IT or tech integration program in the first week of June, where teachers go and they get $10,000 worth of equipment.
Well, she has a lucky school. They've got they've got a nice tech budget. Do you think I hate to say that Apple isn't taking that into consideration because, again, Apple's extremely education-focused, but I think that might just be a happy coincidence, honestly. I think that they're much more looking at their own fiscal year than when teachers have budgets to spend money. Am I being naive?
Boy, they should be paying attention to when teachers have money. Do that. Did I send you a message?
You sent me two different messages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was trying one to your phone number. I'm using the new messages. By the way, the name of this is not iMessenger, or message. It's messages.
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 You're adding an N where there is none. Messages.
Messages.
No. Not messenger. English language.
Messages.
Look it up. Messages.
Oh, messages.
Massages.
Massages.
Massages. That's a new app.
It's a massage.
It's called Massages.
Messages.
It's great.
Messages.
Yes.
Messages. Okay. I'm hoping someday I can become a trained announcer, so I want to make sure my diction
don't quit your day job.
Parfait. Mm. So that's the point, is that the same address can send to a lot of different things.
Yeah, Leoville sent something to my desktop and something to my phone, and they're two different messages.
Yep.
No, but...
Because one I sent to your phone number and one I sent to your email.
But my point is, we're talking about two different things.
Set up your email on your phone, you'd have gotten the same message on your phone.
I did.
The thing I don't like... Okay, here's another thing. It doesn't seem to be queuing messages when you do that. So, because some device received a message, now I'm not seeing any old messages when I log in on my desktop.
Exactly. So there's an issue there.
There is an issue in that sense.
I want it to be synced the way iCloud is, where everything looks the same on all of my devices if I'm using the same Apple ID.
I did receive this from Jeffrey Parks, the same message here and on my phone. Because Messages was running on the same, running on both devices. And I presume I got it on my iPad and everything else as well. But if I close Messages on my desktop, I will continue to receive messages on other devices that are still logged in. And then when I open Messages on my desktop, those messages were perceived as received and have not been queued and will not pour into my desktop. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The way I said that?
Did you send to saralane.com?
I did. No.
No? Gmail?
Gmail.
Oh.
So here, I'll send something to saralane.com. Watch this. It's kind of fun. We'll be with you in a moment.
Will you answer our poor anonymous caller about whether or not you think that Apple cares about teachers?
Yes. I think Apple cares a lot about teachers.
But do you think that that's what's going into consideration for a March release for an iPad?
No, I think that is absolutely not. In fact, I think that's something interesting that's happened in their timing. Because remember, the iPhone, which used to come out in June, now comes out when the
Yes!
When the
Yes!
It does work.
It does.
I thought it did.
Okay. I'm done.
Your problem is you have too many different ways to contact you.
You have too many different hats.
I do, and I don't have one right now.
Maybe.
Oh, yes, I do. Somebody came and gave me one. Remember, Apple really got its start by putting Apple IIs in classrooms. They had a very aggressive Apple for Education program. A program has much less aggressive than it used to be. You only get like a 10% discount for students. They do have an Apple Education department. They have Apple Education leads who go around to schools. So they're very aware of that. The question is, how much of their business cycle do they modify considering education? And I think there's too many other factors to consider when you're releasing an iPod, an iPad, an iPhone, or even desktops, to time it to the education cycle.
Well, especially since if an iPad came out, let's say it came out January 1st. I mean, by the time a teacher gets that $10,000 or however much in order to make an investment for the next school year, it's not as if the iPad is less cool. If anything, it's more of a proven model for the classroom. So I don't think it takes away at all for it to be released at a different time.
A great iMessenger, I don't know who I got this from, it doesn't say the name for some reason, but they make a very good point. One of the reasons that they split iPhone and iPad releases is because it's about manufacturing capability. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff is basically made in the same Foxconn factories. And so you have to kind of time it according to availability of parts, availability of manufacturing. There's a lot more to consider than just when the school year starts or the fiscal year starts for a school. So I think, yes, they care a lot about schools. They don't care so much that they're going to modify their whole business based on it.
Want to remind everybody that
animated GIFs also.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Well, it stopped, but it was animating for... Oh, there it is. It's moving.
It's a really slow animated GIF. Is that a honey badger?
It's a honey badger.
Honey badger, don't give a beep.
It says, deal with it.
That's awesome. I want that.
I wonder if there's a forward capability.
Write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. We love getting your emails. Thanks to everybody who writes us every week. Our voicemail, Google voice number is 757-504-IPAD. When you call, you'll hear me say something like blah, blah, blah. I'm going to change that one of these days, but don't let
really?
That deter
you. Do you actually say blah, blah, blah?
No, I say
You say something,
right? I messed
up,
and then I just never redid it.
You never fixed it.
Yeah. But please call us, 757-504-IPAD-4723. Or for extra points, you can always send us a video. We love seeing your face. Thanks to Ethan. We didn't see your face, but we saw you showing us how Reading List worked. Really, really appreciate
it. We saw your honey badger face.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
I love that. That is just the best thing I've seen ever.
We're playing with messages.
Finally, it's time for our
AppCap World!
Yay! This is the time where we put on hats and we talk about our favorite. Oh, this is a nice hat.
This is nice, too.
It's okay. You look.
Why, I never.
Okay, just do this for me and I'll see. Go, I'm hunting wabbits. I'm hunting rabbits. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay. Okay, Elmer Fudd. Of the two of us, I think there's a little bit more of a, hey, that resemblance is uncanny type thing. But I digress.
Yes.
My app cap of the week is fab.com. And you might say, Sarah, haven't you already talked about Fab on the show before?
Like five times? You can't stop talking about it like that?
How about once on July 11th, 2011?
Oh. All right.
Okay.
You check the tapes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If there were tapes,
if there were tapes, you would have.
Now you have Google search for things like that and our wiki. But no, Fab has we've talked about it actually in a past show as almost sort of like a, I don't know what I want to do right now. What's a fun app where I can kind of just, I don't know, look around, waste some time. Fab is actually more exciting for me now because they updated their app. Thank you for the honey badger animated.
It worked. It's gone viral.
It's good stuff. What they have that's cool now is they've got a new section. So this is just like everything that's new. And this is, if you're not familiar with Fab, it's, you know, it's kind of like these flash sales. So if I was I really love this bicycle, then I can you know, go ahead and, you know, it's or these like little owl earrings or $8 off of 10, blah blah blah. Okay, so that's the new area. But now they have a cool section called Shops, and Shops is nice because it's just more of like a, you know, actually a storefront. So there are, you know, art shops, bed and bath, books and media, cook and prep, fitness and sports. I kind of got stuck on home accessories because I'm sort of in the market for a nice entertainment stand. I actually found one. These are all like TV mounts. I'm not quite ready for that yet because I'm just a renter and I know my landlord doesn't want me to drill a hole in my wall. But, oh, come on. Wow, they sold out. Dang it. Since the last time I was here. You've got jewelry, you've got lighting, that sort of thing. So you get the idea. Like, it just gives you more of a, I'm really focused on something for my home or, you know, new sunglasses, that sort of thing. Or you can browse by a variety of parameters. And one of the cool new ones is by color. So I can say, I really want, you know, I'm trying to put something together in my office and I kind of want this like real slaty steel type thing.
That's cool.
I just want to search Fab.
You're searching
by
color.
Color grade.
That is really cool.
So, I mean, a rug gets pulled up. Really don't know why this gets pulled up because it's not, well, maybe it actually comes in gray as well as like a birch. Hard to say. You got t-shirt, obviously, iPad 2 smart case, charcoal, so like a calendar thing, some placemats, a bike. So this is all stuff that really has nothing to do with the items wouldn't otherwise be clumped together in any sort of shop, but they are, if you want to just think of it in terms of, it's a very designery type of way to think of things is in terms of color palette. But I really do like this, and I like their iPad app a lot. Their desktop interface is perfectly nice. It's great. But there is something about these flash sales that I just find a little bit more fun on the iPad. And Fab has a particularly good one. You know, you get like different views of things. You can zoom and again, in many cases, not in all cases, but in many cases, like, for example, this rug. If anyone's ever bought a Persian rug before, you know that they're ridiculously expensive. Now, they say that this was $960. Whether or not that's true, they're selling it for $346, and this is 8x10. That's a huge rug. So that sort of, you do actually find deals on this. So it's definitely worth having. It's a completely free app. Of course, all you do is pay for anything that you buy on the app, but they have some nice new search terms. So it's my app cap. I'm into it.
You know what they don't have on the iPad?
What's that, Leo?
They don't have Pinterest on the iPad.
Yeah, they do.
No, there's iPad app.
Yeah.
Really bugs me.
Leo, can you not be one of those people who can't stop talking about Pinterest?
I love Pinterest.
Do you?
No.
I don't know.
Actually, I do. Because Fab makes me think of this, because Pinterest is, like, what you really should be doing is Pinteresting your Fab picks and sharing them with the world, and you get other input and so
but
forth.
But Fab isn't really about that.
I can't believe you don't use Pinterest.
I mean, I have an account. Okay. We have talked about it on the Social Hour.
I love Pinterest.
I have talked about it on iPad today.
And there is a way to make a Pinterest
I just
bookmark
don't feel
and Safari
like
on the
it deserves
iPad.
To be the new. It's like, you know, where people just.
It's the new thing.
They pretend that there's never been a bookmarking service before. It's just visual. It's very nice. I like it. But I'm not,
it.
Like, obsessed with it the way that. Okay, fine. Be obsessed. Is that what your app cap is? Is that what it is, Leo? Answer me.
By the way, somebody said you look like Dick Cheney, and I think that that's true. So please don't shoot me in the face, okay?
I am Dick Cheney.
So this
is glad you noticed. I thought I had faded away. No, I'm working a twit.
This is Ghost Trick. Now, this came out first on the Nintendo DS, and it is a very interesting, weird kind of game. One thing that is a little off-putting about Ghost Trick, it's free, by the way, for the first two chapters, and then you can add chapters, is that there's a lot of exposition. This is very Nintendo DS-like at the beginning, but the idea is you're dead.
Okay.
You're a ghost.
Yeah.
And your job is to save people using your ghost powers. There's a lot of narrative in here. In fact, we're hearing the story. In some ways, it's almost like a comic book and a game.
Like an interactive comic experience.
Yeah. Interesting music. There is there's a thinly veiled physics game in here, actually. Because in some ways, what you're trying to do is use your ghost tricks to save, in this case, this young lady from the hitman.
So, oh, I see. You're not... I was like,
and that's me.
Oh.
Okay, now see, I used my ghost trick to knock the gun away, and now he's chased her. I used the guitar to trick him, and now he's chasing her again. Now I have one more chance. I've gone back in time 4 minutes. I need to save her. And so it's kind of an interesting... I don't know if game is the right word. There is a game element to it. It's also a little bit of a graphic novel. And there are multiple chapters. Now it's going to give me a chance to actually save her in a moment here. Oh, too late.
Oh, wait.
I guess I didn't do it in time.
Wow, amazing. Jeez, that was depressing.
That's because I'm dead too. So the last 4 minutes, so really we're still learning some tricks.
Oh, I see. That's how the game starts.
Yeah. So
you didn't do anything wrong.
There's quite a bit of this actually to begin with. Give it a try. It's free to try it. It's kind of interesting. It's going to go back in time, and it's going to give me a chance to actually save her. I tried to get through all of this before the show started, and we ran out of time. But there you go. It is worth trying for free, and there are two more chapters. I think it's very intriguing, very interesting, and certainly if you play the Nintendo DS game, you'll be thrilled to see that it is now available. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So now that's me, and that's that. There's still some more exposition.
Jeez. Okay. It's like, I hate this stuff.
I know. Come on. I don't like exposition at all.
I just like to be able to say, if I don't want to read any of it, I just want to
work it out. Something a little bit annoying. You cannot
kick it past.
So first I have to become a ghost. Then I have to pass my soul into that lamp. Then from that lamp, Oh, I got to hurry up. I got 4 minutes. I got to get there as fast as I can.
We need to stop reading then.
There's no time to lose. She's still alive. I can save her. That's me dead, by the way, right there. Nice hairdo, huh? Come on,
come
on.
This game is really confusing.
Come on.
I have no idea what's going
on. Come on. Looks like I better get up there fast. That's right. Have a look at the right side of the screen.
You're supposed to be doing something, I think.
No, I'm still reading crap. That's what's... See, there's... Well, they're still teaching me the game, believe it or not.
Yeah.
See,
the wheel.
Gone. Yes. Now, let's become a ghost. You think up there? Can I reach it? No, I can reach here, though. So let's... Whoops. Let's go there. Okay. Whoops. No. Let's... Ghost. Okay. I want to go here.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
And now reinvent the wheel.
Oh, crap. I can't get there from here. How about here? Let's go there. There. Now I can get there. Okay.
Now you can go there.
Anyway, it's kind of a physics game, and there's more to do, and I'm a lamp. Oh. Fascinating.
Clearly.
That's called Ghost Trick.
Well prepared.
It took me an hour to get there.
It's okay. It's free.
You're going to like
it. If it was $5, I'd be giving you a harder time.
You're going to like
it. It's not.
It's Capcom. It's good. Trust me. It's fun. On my iPhone, I'm much farther along. That's what you don't like, because it has an iPhone version. So I'm playing on the iPhone. But now, when you go on the iPad, you got to go back through that whole exposition.
You can't pick up where you left off via Game Center?
It's a really good game. Trust me. Just don't do as I do. Do as I say. Thank you very much.
All right. With that, we're going to say goodbye now. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this episode of iPad Today.
We'll see
you next week.
That's exactly how
I feel so much better.
It was supposed to be this way.
Oh, jeez. Wow. It's like I'm me again. No longer Elmer Fudd Dick Cheney. Okay. Thank you, Leo. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of iPad Today. We will see you next week.
Ow!